This week's Parsha is Parsha Shmini, and the beginning of Parsha Shmini describes the inauguration of the tabernacle. According to Rashi, this was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and we are going to discuss today the death of the two sons of Aharon, Nadav Avihu, and we will start with chapter 9, verse 24. After the Jewish people did everything that Hashem commanded, it's written, "Vateitze eishim lifnei Hashem," a fire went out from in front of Hashem, and it burned on the Mizbeach, as the oil of the elevation offering, and the fats. The people saw, and they praised, and they fell on their faces. Which means this was the first time that Hashem manifested himself after the sin of the golden calf. Everybody saw that Hashem came to the Mishkan, to the tabernacle, and Hashem accepted the offerings that were in the altar. Therefore, they praised and they fell on their faces. Chapter 10, verse number 1, starts with the sin of Nadav Avihu. Va'ikhu bnei Aharon, Nadav Avihu, the children of Aharon, Nadav Avihu, took ish machtosoi, each one his fire pan, va'itnu bohem eish, and they put on the fire pan fire, va'yosimu aleihu ketores, and they put on it incense, vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, and they brought forth in front of Hashem, eish zara, a strange fire, asher lo yitziv oisom, that he had not commanded them. Meaning that Nadav Avihu went into the Holy of Holies with fire pans in their hand, and they were not commanded to do that. Then pasuk number 2 says, vateitze eish milifnei Hashem, a fire came out from in front of Hashem, and it consumed them, meaning it killed them, and they died in front of Hashem. The Medrash in Torah's Kohanim, Shmini, Parsha Aleph, Ois Mem Aleph, brings two different interpretations what happened to Nadav Avihu. Chad Omar, one says, Sreifa Mamesh, that they were actually burned, meaning the fire burned them completely. The Chad Omar, in one says, Sreifas Neshama, that only the Neshama was burned, the Guf Kayam, but their bodies were intact. Meaning, Hashem sent a fire through their nostrils, which burned their Neshama, but their body, outside body, was intact. Rashi on the Pasuk Vateitze Eish, that a fire came out, is wondering, what specifically did Nadav Avihu do wrong that warranted them to be killed? The truth is that the Gemara gives a lot of reasons why Nadav Avihu were killed. Rashi brings two reasons, and we are going to focus on the second reason of Rashi, which is Rabbi Shmuel Omer. Rabbi Shmuel says, "Shesuya yain nechnasu lemikdash." They came in to the Beis Hamikdash drunk with wine. Teida, I give you a proof that this was the reason that they were punished. She'achar misasam, because right after their death, meaning right after the story of Nadav Avihu's death, on pasuk number 8 and 9. There, Hashem says to Aharon HaKohen, by Dabar Hashem El Aharon Lemur, Hashem tells Aharon, saying, Yain v'sheichor al teisht, wine and old wine, do not drink, ato v'necho, you and your children, itoch if you, bevoyachem elo emoyet, when you come into the tent, velo isamusu, then you will not die, chukas oilam, this is an eternal decree, l'doresechem, for all your generations. And the Medrash Rabbah, Parsha Yud Beis, Siman Aleph, says that this is a parable from a king who had a household member who once he found them at the entrance of a store, and as soon as he saw them at the entrance of the store, he killed them without any explanations. When he appointed a new household member to take the place of the deceased person, he says to the household member, don't go in front of that store, then you won't be killed. Which means, by him saying to the second one, don't do this, otherwise you'll be killed, you realize that the reason that the first household member was killed was because he went in front of the store. The same thing here. The fact that Hashem told, right after the story of the death of Nadav Avihu, to Aharon HaKohen, don't come in drunk and then you won't be killed, then you realize that the reason that Nadav Avihu were killed was because Suya Yayin Echnasu, that Nadav Avihu came in drunk to the tabernacle. Shalos Tshuvos HaRash, Klal Yud Gimel, Siman Chof Aleph, brings an interesting question that somebody posed for him, and he asked, according to this medrash that the Nadav Avihu were punished because they were drunk. And how do I know that they were drunk? Because right after they were killed, Hashem tells Aharon not to come into the tabernacle drunk, lest he be killed. From here we see that this was their sin. But the question is, how can Nadav Avihu be punished for coming in drunk if the commandment of not coming in drunk to the tabernacle wasn't given till after their death? The Rosh answers that we have to say that this commandment was given prior to Nadav Avihu going into the tabernacle, and we have the rule that Ein Mukdam U'Meucher B'Torah, the Torah is not obligated to follow chronology. We see a lot of times events that happened later are described before, and the Rosh brings a proof that since we know that all the laws of the Kohanim and all the laws of the Mumim, of the blemishes that invalidate the animal and also the Kohen, and all the laws of purity and impurity regarding the ones that are doing the service are described on Parshas Emor, and obviously before they started the service they had to know these laws, even though they listed in Parshas Emor. But nonetheless, since here we already brought sacrifices, obviously we couldn't bring sacrifices with blemishes. We already had to know those laws. The same thing here, even though the law of not coming in drunk to the tabernacle was given right after the death of Nadav Avihu, but you must say that this was given earlier in the same way that the other laws were given. And he says that even though the Medrash makes a connection that since it's written right afterwards, obviously this proves that this was the sin. And if you say now that this is not chronological, then how can you even come up with this idea? He says that the Medrash Ba'almahu Lidrosh Semuchim, that's just a Medrash that likes to put together those things. And the Rosh continues and says, the Yadua, it's clear, Shekol Devorim Amevatnim Avoido, that all the things that invalidate the service, Hutrechu Leida Koidem Avoido, you require to know before the service, meaning anything that would have invalidated the service, like being drunk, like the blemishes, like being impure, you have to know before the service. Then obviously this was given to Aharon before Nadav Avihu went in, but it's written out of place. And the Medrash explains that the reason that's written out of place is for you to learn that Nadav Avihu died because they were drunk. Meaning, what Hashem told Aharon, that if you come in drunk, you are liable for death, that was already written previously, but here Hashem wrote it next to the story of Nadav Avihu for you to understand that this is the reason why Nadav Avihu died. We have a few questions based on this rush. Number one, if the idea really was that they came in drunk, then why do you need to have a commandment that you're not allowed to go in drunk to the tabernacle? If somebody is drunk, that is very disrespectful. Do we have to have a special commandment that somebody is not allowed to urinate or defecate in the tabernacle? We'd understand that if you're doing something disrespectful, you'll have consequences. So too, if somebody comes in drunk, obviously he should expect the consequences, because it's not proper to come in drunk to the tabernacle. And if you are going to tell me that true, that it's improper to come in drunk to the tabernacle, but nonetheless you are not deserving death unless you are pre-warned, because you have a rule in Onshim Elim Kemazirim that we do not punish a person unless we warn him, and then the Rosh says that therefore we have to say that they were already pre-warned before they went into the tabernacle, meaning that they already knew that it was prohibited to come in drunk before they came into the tabernacle, then we have to understand what is the motivation of Nadav Avihu. Clearly they knew that they will be punished by death if they come in drunk. Why did they decide that they are going to come in drunk to the tabernacle? Furthermore, we have to understand that right after the death of the children of Aharon, on Pasuk number 3, Vayomer Moshe al Aharon, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Aharon, saying, Hu asher dibor Hashem leimor. This is exactly what Hashem said, saying, Bikroi vayakadosh, by those who are close to me, who are near me, I'll be sanctified. Va'al pnei kol ha'om ekaved, and in front of the whole nation, I will be honored. And then, after Aharon hears this, Vayidom Aharon, Aharon fell silent. which means to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a consolation to Aharon by saying that Hashem has told me, by those who are near me, I will become sanctified. Rashi asks, Eichon Diber, where do you see that Hashem said those words? Rashi answers that in Shmos chapter 29, verse 43, it's written there, V'no'ad v'shomo livnei Yisrael, I shall meet there with the Jewish children, v'nikdash b'chvoidi, I'll be sanctified through my honor. And Rashi says, al tikri b'chvoidi, do not read that I'll be sanctified with my honor, el b'chvudai, by those who honor me, I'll be sanctified. Meaning, by those people who honor me, I'll be sanctified. Omar loy Moshe l'Aharon. Moshe told Aharon, saying, Aharon achi, Aharon, my brother, your day ha'isi, I knew beforehand, she'iskadosh habayis b'miyudav shemokon, that the Mishkan is going to be sanctified by those who are intimate with Hashem. Vo'isi savur, and I thought, oybi, oybach, either is going to be sanctified by me or by you, meaning either I'm going to die by the sanctification of the tabernacle, or you are going to die by the sanctification of the tabernacle. Achshav, now, meaning now that I see that your two children, neither of you, died instead, Re'ani, I see, Shehem Gedoylimi, many Mimeka, that they are even greater than me and you, meaning that the children of Aharon are in greater status than me, Moshe Rabbeinu, and you. Normally, he would have said that this is just a way that Moshe Rabbeinu found to try to console Aharon. Since the two children of Aharon died in that day, Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to console him by saying to Aharon that your children, not all of you, are great people, and Hashem wanted them to be close to him, wanted them to stay closer in heaven. But when Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, Hu asher diber Hashem leimor, that this is what Hashem said, saying, then Moshe Rabbeinu is saying that these words were actually spoken by Hashem. And if these words were spoken by Hashem, obviously they were 100% true. And as Rashi says, that means that Nadav Aviyu are in a higher level than Moshe and Aharon. Then how can we say that they came in simply as Shesuya Yain, as drunk people, if we are just saying now that they are in such a great level, they're even greater than Moshe and Aharon? How can we say that their transgression was just a simple transgression, that they decided that they're going to come in drunk? Specifically, according to the Rosh, that they were pre-warned that they shouldn't come in drunk, that there's a danger that they will die if they come in drunk. How can we say about somebody who clearly transgresses the will of Hashem that he is a greater level than Moshe and Aharon? And to strengthen the question more, in chapter 16, verse number 1, Parsha Achemos, there the pasuk says, "Vadabra Hashem el Moshe," Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Achrei Moshe shnei bnei Aharon," after the death of the two children of Aharon, "Bekarvosom lifnei Hashem," when they got close in front of Hashem, "Vayomusu," and they died. And all the Meforshim say that the reason that they died was because they were able to get close to Hashem, in the same way as we explained that when it says Bikroivai Ekadosh, it means for those who are close to me, I'll be sanctified. There it mentions the Karvosom Nifnei Hashem, when they got close to Hashem, which means that they achieved their mission, that they were able to get close to Hashem. Then how can we say again that they did such a huge sin as Shesuya Yain, as coming in drunk, which seems to be a chutzpah for even a normal layperson to come in drunk to the Holy of Holies, and in the other hand say that they were in such a high level, even in a level that is greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? How can we reconcile both positions? To answer these questions, we are going to bring the Arve Nochal in Drosh Beis LePesach, where the Arve Nochal brings from the Shloah Kodesh, where the Shloah Kodesh is trying to reconcile a contradiction in the Medrash Rabbah. In Medrash Rabbah Bamidbar, Perik Beis, Simon Gimel, is analyzing the idea of the Degolim, of the encampments of the Jewish people, and it brings a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which is in Shir HaShirim, chapter 2, verse number 4, where the pasuk says, "Heviyani al Beis Hayayin, you have brought me to the house of wine, Vediglu olai ahava, and you have clustered on me love." we know that the Torah is exemplified as wine, because it's written in Mishle chapter 9, verse number 5, Lechu lachamu balachmi, go and eat with my bread, ushesu b'yayin masachti, and drink from the wine that I mixed. And we say that since this pasuk is referring to Torah, then we know that the Torah is exemplified as wine. Therefore, Beis HaYayin, the house of wine, must be a place where there is a lot of Torah, or a lot of Torah was given from that place. So the Medrash Rabbah says that this is referring to Sinai, and the Diglu Alei HaHava, and he clustered us with love, this is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'lamdeni Moshe Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu taught us the Torah, Sheine Dreshes Mem Tes Ponim, that is expounded in 49 faces, meaning there is 49 facets in which to expound the Torah. And that's what it meant, the Diglu Alei HaHava, that he clustered us with love. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu came into Sinai, where there is a lot of Torah, and out of that Torah, he came and he gave us the Torah that it could be expounded in 49 facets. So we see that there is 49 facets of the Torah. And then there is a Medrash Rabbah in also Parsha Yud Gimel Simen Tezvav, where the Medrash Rabbah there is analyzing all the sacrifices that the Nesim, that the princes brought for the inauguration of the temple. And the Medrash says that even though each one of the 12 tribes brought identically the same things, but each one had a special intent for what they brought. And here, the Medrash is specifically analyzing what is brought by the tribe of Issachar in the second day. Since Issachar was blessed by Yaakov Avinu that he is the one that is going to carry the burden of the Torah, therefore the Medrash tries to explain everything that Issachar brought regarding the Torah. And the Medrash Rabbah analyzes what is written in Bamidbar, chapter 7, verse number 19, where it says, Mizrak echad kesef, one silver basin, shivim shekel b'shekel ha-koydush, that weighs 70 shekels in the holy shekel. And the Medrash says that we know that the Torah is exemplified as wine, as we mentioned previously, and we also know that wine is drank in basins, because the pasuk in Amos chapter 6 says, "Vashoisim bemizrake yain," those who drink in basins of wine. And he explains that there is one basin because the Torah shebichsav, the written law, and Torah shebaalpeh, and the oral law are all one. You cannot say that I'm only going to listen to the written law and not to the oral law, because the written and the oral are all interconnected, that they are considered one basin. And he says, Shivim shekel b'shekel ha-koydesh, there is 70 shekel in the holy shekel, because wine is numerical value 70, because the yud is 10 and the other yud is another 10, that's 20, and the nun is 50. That means that wine is numerical value 70. And the Medrash continues and says, Keshem sheyayin cheshboin shivim, in the same way that wine is numerical value 70, Kach yesh shivim ponim b'Torah, so too there is 70 faces to the Torah, which means there is 70 ways for you to learn the Torah. Then the Shla asks that there is a contradiction. In Bamidbar, the Medrash Rabbah says that Moshe Rabbeinu taught us 49 ponim, 49 facets to the Torah. And here in also it says that there are ayim ponim l'Torah, 70 facets to the Torah. How can we reconcile this contradiction? To reconcile this contradiction, the Shla Kodesh brings the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis 21b. First, the Gemara there brings a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 12, verse number 7, where the pasuk says, Imrois Hashem Amores Torah, the words of Hashem are pure, Kesef Tzorov Baalil La'aretz, like purified silver, clear to the world, Mezukok Shivasoim, refined sevenfold. On that, the Gemara says, Rav and Shmuel, both Rav and Shmuel say, Chad Omar, one says, Chamishim Sharei Vina Nivru Boilam, 50 gates of understanding of wisdom were created in the world. V'chulam nitnu le-Moshe, all of the gates were given to Moshe Rabbeinu, chaser echot, minus one. Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't able to achieve the 50 levels of wisdom, he was only able to achieve 49 levels of wisdom. Shenemar, because the Pasuk writes down in Tehillim chapter 8, verse number 6, v'techasreyu ma'at melekim, that you made them a little less than godliness, than divine, and that is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. And I know that there was 50 gates, because since the Pasuk previously talks about the words of Hashem and says Mezukam Shvosayim, that he is purified sevenfold, Rashi explains that sevenfold means 7 times 7. 7 times 7 is 49, and that whole chapter in Tehillim refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, because in the beginning it talks about when Moshe Rabbeinu came to heaven to receive the Torah, as the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Pei Ches 88 expounds. Then we see that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to receive the Torah that is purified sevenfold, which means that Moshe Rabbeinu was able to achieve the 49th level of wisdom. And since it's written that Hashem made Moshe Rabbeinu a little less than godliness, that means that Moshe Rabbeinu was missing something, and we assume that he was missing the smallest amount, which is one. Therefore, we assume that there is 50 gates of wisdom, and Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to achieve 49, which is a little less than godliness. Therefore, the Shlach HaKadosh explains like this, that Moshe Rabbeinu only was able to get to the 49th gate of wisdom. Each gate of wisdom is equivalent to one facet. Therefore, the Medrash Rabbein Bamidbar, which says that Hashem took Moshe Rabbeinu to the Beis Ayin, to the house of wine, which means to the wine cellar, to Sinai, and Moshe Rabbeinu taught us from Sinai 49 Panim LaTorah, 49 facets of Torah, is because Moshe Rabbeinu was only able to achieve 49 level of wisdom, and therefore he could only teach us 49 facets of the Torah. But in truth, there are 50 levels of wisdom. But the 50th level is not one facet. The 50th level, says the Shlach, is equivalent to 21 facets, equivalent to the Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, which is Ehye, which is I will be, which is numerical value 21. Because the letter Aleph is 1, the Hey is 5, that's 6, the Yud is 10, that's 16, and the Hey is 5, that's 21. And he says that the last level of wisdom has 21 facets. Then comes out that there is 49 level of wisdom, which 49 facets, but the last one is 21, so you take 49 plus 21, you end up having 70, and that is the meaning of the second Medrash that says that Issachar brought one basin that weighs 70 shekels, because Issachar brought one basin which is equivalent to Torah Shebechsach and Torah Shebalpeh, the written law and the oral law, which is used for wine, and since numerical value of wine, which symbolizes Torah, is 70, therefore he brought something that weighs 70 shekels, because there are 70 ponim la-Torah, facets to the Torah. True that only a limited amount of people were able to get to that 50th level, were able to get all 70 facets, but in fact there are 70 facets of the Torah, equivalent to the 50 gates of wisdom. And the Shlach HaKadosh explains that not every person could achieve the 50th level. As a matter of fact, Moshe Rabbeinu himself did not achieve the 50th level while he was alive. And if a person pushes himself and tries to get to the 50th level, then unfortunately sometimes he could come to die. Meaning that since you achieve such a great level of holiness, then your neshama becomes attached to the Creator, to Hashem. And your neshama, your soul, doesn't want to go back to your body. Therefore, you end up dying. And he explains that this is the idea, what the Gemara says in Chagiga, Daf Yudalad Amud Beis 14b, where the Gemara describes there that four people went up to the Pardes, Rabbi Akiva, Acher, Ben Azai, and Ben Zoima, where the Gemara says that Ben Azai hits its umeis, Ben Azai gazed at the divine and he died, and the reason that he died is because since he was not at that level, once the neshama gazes at the divine, then the neshama becomes totally connected to the divine, and there is no way for it to remain inside a physical body, therefore the person dies. Sefer Shemen Roish wants to use the idea to explain why Adam HaRishon sinned. Meaning, originally in the creation, Hashem told Adam HaRishon in Bereshis chapter 2, verse number 17, Umeitz Adas Toi Vera, from the tree of knowledge, good or bad, Loi Soichal Mimenu, you should not eat from it, Ki Vayoy Machol Chomimenu, because in the day that you are going to eat from it, Mois Tumos, you are going to die. So Hashem warned Adam HaRishon not to eat from the tree of wisdom, from the Eitz Hadas. And normally we interpret that Hashem also told them that if you are going to eat, you are going to be punished, that you are going to die. And we all know the rest of the story, that the snake came to Chava, and the snake convinced Chava to eat from the fruit, and she ate from the fruit, and she gave to Adam HaRishon to eat from the fruit, and in fact, Adam HaRishon did not die. True that Meforshim write down that the day of Hashem is 1,000 years, and therefore Adam HaRishon only lived 930 years. And Meforshim say that he was supposed to live 1,000 years, but he gave 70 years to David HaMelech. And we know that it's written in Tehillim chapter 90, Ki elef shonim be'necho, 1,000 years in your eyes, kayom esmol, is like yesterday, which means that a day of Hashem is 1,000 years. And when Hashem told Adam HaRishon that the day you will eat from the fruit, you will die, he didn't mean to say man days. He meant to say a day of Hashem, which is equivalent to 1,000 years. And in fact, Adam HaRishon was destined to live 1,000 years. And also, the Ramban actually says that when Hashem told Adam HaRishon that if he eats from the fruit, he is going to die, it doesn't mean that he is going to be punished right away with death. It means that if you are going to eat from the fruit, you are going to become mortal. Meaning, until Adam HaRishon ate from the fruit, he was immortal. He wasn't supposed to die ever. But once he ate from the fruit, he became mortal. But the time of death was 1,000 years later. But not that he was automatically punished by death. But besides this question, we have to understand about the sin of Chava per se. Meaning, how is it possible that the snake comes to Chava and says that Hashem knows that if you are going to eat from the fruit, you are going to be like gods? Was Chava really that haughty to believe that she wants to become like gods? Was she jealous about Hashem that she wanted to be? And furthermore, after Adam HaRishon is confronted by Hashem, and Hashem asked in Pasuk number 11, did you eat from the tree that I told you not to eat? Then in Pasuk number 12, Adam HaRishon says, O Isha Shenosatu Imadi, the woman that you gave with me, he nasto liminoetz, she gave me from the tree, va'oichel, and I ate. But the Yalkut Reuveni and the Medrash Rabbah say that va'oichel doesn't mean in past tense, I ate. It means that Adam HaRishon told Hashem, Ochalti, I ate, va'oichel oid, and I'll eat again. Meaning, if given the opportunity, I will eat again. Then the question is, what kind of chutzpah does Adam HaRishon have to tell Hashem that not only I ate, I would like to eat again? Therefore, says Sefer Shemen Roish, that according to what the Shloah Kodesh mentioned, we could reinterpret the story of Adam HaRishon. Meaning, that when Hashem warned Adam HaRishon in Pasuk number 7, in Me'etz Adas Toi Vera, that from the tree of knowledge that knows good and bad, lois soichal mimenu, do not eat from that, ki bayoim acholcho, because in the day that you are going to eat mimenu from the fruit, moistumos, you are surely going to die, it is not a punishment that Hashem is conveying to Adam HaRishon. Hashem is conveying to Adam HaRishon a statement of fact, meaning that Hashem knew that Adam HaRishon was only in the 49th level of wisdom. He was in the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. He was able to get only the 49th gates. The 50th gate he could not get. But if you would eat from the Eitz Hadas, if you eat from the tree of knowledge, then he would acquire more knowledge. He'll be able to get to the 50th level. But since he was not in the level yet to acquire the 50th level on his own, he would require to have the fruit to make him jumpstart the system, then there wasn't going to be any choice. If he eats from the fruit, then Moise Tumas, then you are surely going to die. It was not a threat of punishment. It was a statement of fact. Do not eat from the fruit, because if you eat from the fruit, you're going to get to the 50th level of wisdom. And if you get the 50th level of wisdom, then there's no choice, you are going to die. Because as the Shlach Kodesh explains, that when you get to that level and you are not worthy, then your neshama cleaves to Hashem because of the holiness, and your soul doesn't want to have anything to do with your physical body. Therefore, you end up dying. And in fact, this is exactly why Chava decided to listen to the snake. Because if you read the words of the snake very carefully, you see that in Pasuk number 5 says, Ki yodei Elohim, that Hashem knows, Ki bayoy macholcho mimenu, that in the day that you are going to eat from the fruit, v'nifkechu einechem, then your eyes will open up, v'yisem ke Elohim, and you'll be like a god, like Elohim, yoide toivera, that know good and bad. We know that the word Elohim means the 50 level of wisdom. Because by Moshe Rabbeinu, when he was able to achieve only the 49th level, we brought the pasuk that says, "Vatechasreu me'at melokim," that you made Moshe Rabbeinu a little less than Elohim, that godliness. That means that Elohim is the 50th level. Therefore, the snake was telling that Hashem knows that when you're going to eat from the fruit of knowledge, you are going to be like Elohim. You're not going to be like God, but you are going to be in the 50th level. And since Chava wanted so much to get connected to Hashem, to get close to Hashem, therefore Chava decided to listen to the snake, and therefore Chava decided to eat from the fruit, not to become like a god, but to be connected to Hashem, because through the 50th level, her neshama will be connected to Hashem, and her love towards Hashem was so great that she wanted to cleave to Hashem. The Yalkut Shimoni on Bereishis Gimel, Remes Chof Zayin, explains that when the Pasuk in Bereishis Gimel, Pasuk number 6, says, Vatikach mi piryoi vatoichal, and she took from the fruit and ate, the Medrash says, Sachto anavim, that she squeezed grapes, venasnoloi, and she gave to him, meaning she gave to Adam. And I understand that the Medrash gets this idea because it's written Vatikach mi piryo, she took from the fruit, and it's not written Vatikach piryo, and she took the fruit. But the question is, why in fact did she take from the fruit and not the fruit? Hashem told her not to eat from the Eitz Hadas. Then what difference does it make if she took from the fruit or she take the fruit itself? If I say that the fruit was grapes, what difference if she took the grapes and she ate the grapes, or she took the grapes and she squeezed it and she drank? And the answer is that she specifically wanted to get the product of the squeezed grapes, but not the grape itself, because the product of the squeezed grapes, we know it's wine. And since we know that numerical value of yayin, of wine, is 70, and since we just explained from the Shlach Kodesh that there is 70 facets in the 50th level of wisdom, meaning once you get to the 50th level of wisdom, you're able to see ayin ponim latoira, 70 faces to Torah. Therefore, she specifically wanted to hint to her husband, Adam, that she is doing it not because she wants to get haughty, and not because any ulterior motive. She's doing it only because she wants to get to the 50th level of wisdom, and by that to be able to connect to Hashem in a greater level, even at the risk of their own lives. Therefore, when Adam HaRishon was confronted by Hashem and he asked, why did you eat from the fruit? Adam HaRishon told Hashem, you know, if I would have a chance to connect myself to you in a higher level, I would do it again. So therefore he said, that ochalti, I ate the fruit, v'oichal, I will eat again. Meaning, I would be willing to do all over again in order to be able to connect to you, Hashem, in a higher level. Because we're only doing this for your honor. Therefore, after Hashem Yisburach punished Adam and Chava, in Pasuk number 21 it's written, Vayas Hashem Elokim l'Adam ulishtoi, Hashem made for Adam and his wife, kasnas oir, clothing of skin, while Bishem, and he dressed them. Meaning, since they had a total connection to Hashem, they were totally cleaving to Hashem and they wanted to leave their body. Therefore, Hashem had to create a division between man and Hashem, a barrier in order to prevent their neshama from cleaving totally to Hashem. And Hashem created by giving him the kosnas oir, the skin of hide, the skin of leather, like that they will lose that total connection that they got when they ate from the fruit and they achieved the 50th level. Because as the Shlomo mentions, once you achieve the 50th level, your neshama becomes totally cleaved to Hashem and wants to leave the goof, the body. Therefore, Hashem had to create a barrier, which is by the kosnas oir, which is by the skin of leather. And that's why the Medrash also brings down that in Torah Shel Rav Meir, in the Torah of Rav Meir, was written kosnas oir with an aleph instead of an ayin to signify light, which signifies that the ultimate goal of a human being is to have the clothing of light in order to cleave to Hashem. Right now, because we haven't achieved yet the 50th level of wisdom, we require to have kosnas oir, skins of hide. But once you are able to achieve the 50th level of wisdom on your own, then the goal is to be kosnas oir, clothing of light. Like that, that light will completely cleave to Hashem and ultimately go back to its source. According to this idea and the idea of the Shlah, we could explain why Nadav Avihu came into the Beis HaMikdash shtuya yain, drunk with wine. It doesn't necessarily mean they came in drunk, literally as somebody who actually took a bottle of wine and drank it, but it means to say that they came in shtuya yain, they came in drunk with the spiritual yain, the spiritual wine, which we mentioned previously, that since yain is numerical value 70, which means the 70 facets that the Torah is expounded, and we mentioned from the Shlah that to get to the 70 facets, you require to have the 50 levels of wisdom, and they came pushing their way to the 50th level. Once you get to the 50th level, then your neshama ends up cleaving to Hashem. Therefore, Nadav Avihu came in with the 50th level, and therefore they died. Again, Nadav Avihu were at the 49th level of wisdom as Moshe Rabbeinu, and because of their love towards Hashem, they decided that they are going to push their way to the 50th level, and when you get to the 50th level, there is no choice, your neshama ends up cleaving to Hashem. Therefore, they died. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu told Ahar Nakoyen, Hu Asher Diber Hashem Leimor, this is exactly what Hashem said, saying, Bikroiva Ekodesh, by those who are close to me, I'll be sanctified, meaning, by Nadav Avihu, who wanted to get close to me, through them, I'll be sanctified, because everybody is going to see that they want to come close to me, and their neshama becomes connected to the Almighty, to Hashem, V'alpnei kolam ekoved, and I'll be honored in front of everybody. And this is also what Rashi means to say, that Hashem has said previously that he'll be sanctified by those who honor him, and since Nadav Avihu came in because they wanted to honor Hashem, meaning their love was so great that they wanted to cleave to Hashem, therefore they became sanctified. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that's going to be he or Aharon, but by the fact that they came in and they did what they did, everybody was able to see that they are in a higher level than Moshe and Aharon, that their love towards Hashem was even greater than their desire to live, that they wanted to cleave completely to Hashem. And that's why in Parshas Achrei Moz it says that Achrei Moshe Shnei Bnei Aharon, after the death of two sons of Aharon, Bekorvosom Lifnei Hashem, when they got close to Hashem, and that is the reason, Vayomusu, and they died. Because literally they died because they wanted to get close to Hashem. And it could be like the Rashi says that the prohibition against coming into the Beis HaMikdash drunk was already given before this Parsha, because obviously, as the Rashi explains, since it invalidates the service, then you're not allowed to come in drunk, but that is only drunk with wine, meaning intoxicated with wine. As a matter of fact, when Hashem gives this commandment, Hashem doesn't just say Yain Alteish, don't drink wine. Hashem says Yain Vesheichor Alteish, don't drink wine and intoxicating wine. Why does Hashem have to add the word Shechar? Because Hashem wants to distinguish and differentiate between the spiritual drunkenness of wine of Nadav Avihu to the physical drunkenness of another person. And therefore, right after this idea that Nadav Avihu drunk with wine spiritually, to the idea that Hashem told Aharon not to come in drunk, but that drunk means physically, meaning don't equate the coming in of Nadav Avihu, which was a spiritual drunkenness, to somebody who comes in intoxicated with wine, because that is totally wrong. But Nadav Avihu, what they did was something lofty, and therefore they merited to sanctify Hashem's name. And Hashem Yisburg should help that in the same way that in this week the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was inaugurated, we should merit to have Moshiach come soon, and the Beis HaMikdash inaugurated. B'mehera b'yomeinu, Amen.